Be'ezras Hashem b'li neder. Let's finish Shas together. This morning's learning is dedicated le'ili nishmas Avi Moi Harav David Tzvi Ben Harav Yosef. Today's daf is Yuma daf Lamed Aleph. We left off by the words Amar Lei Abaye l'Rav Yosef on the bottom of Lamed Amid Beis. Says the Gemara. Good morning, Chanuch Henuch, Davzi, Shlomo David, Tzvika, Dr. Joe, Avi, and Reb Zalman. Amalei Abayel Rav Yosef. Tevila Zu. So we've been talking about this special tevila that you had to dip in the mikvah before you went into the Beis HaMikdash. Chotzeitz o eino chotzeitz. Do the laws of chatzitza, the regular laws of chatzitza that apply by a real tevila d'oraisa, do they apply by this tevila at all? So Rashi points out that this question, take a look at the top Rashi, L'Rabbi Yehuda, D'amar P'nei Srach Tevila Ba'almi. The Kash is only according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says the whole Tevila is just a Din D'Rabbanan to remind the Kohen that maybe he became Tameh in the past week or 2 weeks. So that's a question, does it apply by the rule of the regular Chatzitzas? However, Tosus Tap Tosus Chotzitz Oin Chotzitz, Perish Rashi, D'la Rabbi Yehuda Kabbalah, V'Kashali, why didn't the Gemara say it was only according to Rabbi Yehuda? Elanira de Bain la Benzoma Bain la Rabbi Yehuda with Tfila Shu Tova Bishaino Balavod El Nichas Bire Kanis. So the question was, even Tosus agreed that this Tvila is Durabanan if you're only coming in for no reason, not to do Avoda. If you're coming to do Avoda, Benzoma held it was a Dindoraisa, because it was learned out from the Kohen Gadol, who was also did the Tvila before doing the Avoda. But if it's just to show up in the Beis HaMikdash, you're just doing tefillah, even Rabbanan would agree it's a Din D'Rabbanan. So let's see back in the Gemara. So Amar Lei called the Tikkun Rabbanan Ke'ein D'Oraisa Tikkun. So he answered that, the laws of Chatzitza apply, just like the laws of Chatzitza apply by Din D'Oraisa, the laws of Chatzitza apply to Rabbanan, because we know that whenever the rabbis made the Dinim D'Rabbanan, they patterned them after the Dinim D'Oraisa. That's question number one. Question number two, Amalei Bar Rav Yosef, Bia B'miktzas Shma Bia Olo. When it comes to this tevila that you do just for coming into Beis HaMikdash, this tevila d'Rabbanan, before you would start, that maybe you would be tameh. So what about if you're not going to fully come into the Beis HaMikdash, you're just going to come in a little bit? I was listening the other day, Rabbi Leibowitz pointed out that this is a machlokas. Some people, when you put things into the kotel, you put like pieces of paper, kvitlach, people have such a custom to put things into the kotel. If you hold it, the Har HaBayis starts with the outer walls of the kotel. When you put your finger in, so a little piece of you is like going into the Har HaBayis. The post can discuss whether that's permissible or not. Chumrah of the Month Club, not putting in a kvitl. Okay, some of the posts can discuss that. But anyway, so in this case, let's say you're just going to put a finger in, or you're just going to put the hand into the Beis HaMikdash. So would you have to do tefillah for that also? So, Bia Shma Bia Olo. So, Amalei, Rav Yosef answered Abaye, Bahonos Yuchichu, Shein Bia B'miktzas, V'tanya, Mitzora, Tova V'omid, B'shar Nikanar. So, we know that the Mitzora, all the Mitzora was going to stick in, he's going to stand in the Shar Nikanar, which was not sanctified with the Kedusha of Azara, and he's going to stick his thumbs and his big toe in to be sprinkled from the blood of his carbon and the oil. To help him in his purification process. He's just going to stick his thumbs in, and yet he had to do tefillah first. So you see that you even need to do this tefillah for a bia b'miktzas, even if you're just going to stick a little piece of your body in there as well. And the third kasha, iboiluhu, ma'ushiyas is sakin aruka v'yishchot. What's the halacha? So let's say you're not going to come into the Beis HaMikdash. You're going to stay outside the Azara, and somehow you will take a very, very long knife, and you will be standing outside the Azara, but you'll shecht the carbon that's inside the Azara. So will that exempt you from the tevila or not? You didn't go in, but you're holding a knife that's in, and you're shechting an animal that's in. Tibayla benzoma, so you could ask this benzoma, tibayla rabbanan de pliga le de Rabbi Yehuda. You could ask this either according to benzoma, who held that there's a real chi of daraisa. And you could also ask this according to Rabbanan, who argue in Rabbi Yehuda, who say that only Mitzora has to be Tovel before he comes in, because he's used to touching Tumah. But other people who are not used to touching Tuma don't have to dip in. Tibayla ben Zoma, ad kan lo mechai ben Zoma el gavai. Ben Zoma only obligated you to do a tefillah if you're going to walk inside. Ava lebroi, but if you're going to stand outside, you shouldn't require a tefillah. O dilma asi limshuche. Or maybe we're afraid if you are doing an act inside the Azara, we should be afraid that if you're slaughtering it, even though you're standing outside, maybe we're afraid you're going to come inside the Azara, and therefore we should be mechayev you tefillah, anything you do inside the Beis HaMikdash. Tibayla Rabbanan, the people of the Rabbi, then you could ask the same kasha according to Rabbanan, who said that only a Mitzora, who deals with Tumah a lot, has to dip, but a regular person doesn't. Adkan, Lokar Rabban Hazim, to lo kavod avoda. Yeah, there you're not doing any avoda. You're just walking into the Azara to do nothing. Aval hacha deka'avad avoda, but here where you're actually doing an avoda in the Azara, even though you're standing outside, lo, you wouldn't be exempt from the tefillah. Maybe you should have to do tefillah. Odom alo shna, or maybe it makes no difference. Teku, the Gemara, leaves us unresolved. So Tosis has a couple of points over here. Number one, Odilma Asilim Shuche. Take a look at the third Tosis on the page. Hadamar Reish Perak Kol Shochtin, Reish Perak Kol Apsulin, Gemar Nechulin, Gemar Nzvachim. Ditmein b'mukdashin l'chadchil l'ishchadu b'sakan aruka. If a person's Tamei, so if he stands outside the Beis HaMikdash, he's not allowed to slaughter a carbon that's inside the Beis HaMikdash with a long knife. Shema yigu b'basar. Because we're afraid maybe he's going to touch the flesh. V'lo kamer tam d'maslim shuche. Why didn't the Gemara over there bring the reason that we have over here, that if you're Tamei, we're afraid maybe you'll walk into Beis HaMikdash? And even the Vavagav Dacha Mesapkele, Igazin and Dilmasim Shuche Olo, Hanimil Bitar, Aval Batami Tekarisik, Mechash Tvei. Tosas asks, even though our Gemara is not sure whether we should be Gozer, maybe you'll walk inside, that's because the guy over here is completely Tar. But over there with the guy's Tamei, there should be more of a reason to be Gozer, maybe he's going to walk into Beis HaMikdash. Because if a Tamei guy, if he's shechting from outside, if he walks in, if he's Tamei, that's going to be even worse. Tosa says, no, V'yishlomer adarava. Just the opposite. Over there, the Gemara is not worried at all, maybe you'll come in. Dafka, because you're Tamei, there's no reason we'll ever suspect that maybe you'll walk in. Because for you, it's like an electric fence to walk in. For you, if you're Tamei, we're not worried you're going to walk in. Here, we're more worried you're going to walk in because you're Tar. So you have no reason not to walk in. So Dafka, over here, we need you to go into a mikvah because we're afraid, and maybe we're not going to let you slaughter with a sack in Aruka, Shema, Asi, Lim, Shuche. Maybe you'll come to walk in. One other point that the Gemara says at the end over here, the Gemara says, Deloka of an avoda. Oh, but here that you're doing an avoda, the Gemara says, if you're shechting with a long knife, it's doing an avoda. Doing an avoda? What do you mean? Shechita is not an avoda. I thought shechita is not an avoda. Shechita is ksheira bizarre, right? Shechita is kasher with an ankohen. How can you tell me shechita is called an avoda? So the Tosas Yushanim asked this kasha. It's a very, very small print. I don't know if you could see it, but it's seven lines from the bottom in the very fat lines where it says, Aval hacha david avoda. Hai dekari hacha l'shechita avoda. Lo tikshiv amai. Don't ask me. We know many Gemara say Shechita is lav avoda. Tosas Yishanim says Shechita is not called an avoda as far as the requirement of a Kohen, but it is one of the four main avodas of every carbon. Shechita is avoda, but it's a lesser avoda in the sense that it's an avoda that's kosher bizarre. Sounds like just a semantic issue, but there may be other halachas that shechita is called an avoda for. It is called an avoda. Just for this one requirement, we have a pharish pasuk that a shechita is ksheir bizarre. It's, you don't need a coin to do it. It's a type of avoda that's kosher even without a coin. But nevertheless, it is still called an avoda. You see, our Gemara calls it an avoda, even though it's a kosher with a non-coin. Okay, let's continue. Oh. Says the Gemara, Chamesh Tvilos Vasara Kiddushin Tovel. So now we're going to get into the meat of the Avodas of the Kohen Gadol. I thought my voice was getting better. I gave a shiur last night. I forgot to drink water and it's shot again. Here we go. Okay. Chamesh Tvilas Vasar Kiddushin Tovel. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanon. A rabbi's taught a bright, so Chamesh Tvilas Vasar Kiddushin Tovel, Kohen Gadol Mikadosh Bo Bayom. 5 dipping in a mikvah and 10 washing hands and feet from the kiyor. The Kohen Gadol would do on Yom HaKippur and V'chul Makodosh Beis HaParva. All of them were done in the mikvah that was inside the Beis HaMikdash in the Azara on the roof of the office of the Beis HaParva. Chutz mi Rishona, except for the first dipping in the mikvah, which he did before the avod of the whole day, which was the same dipping that a regular Kohen would do every day. Shahisa Bachol al Gabi Sharamayim. That was not in Beis HaMikdash proper. That was outside Beis HaMikdash on the roof of the Shar HaMayim. Uvitzad Lishkaso Haisa. It was right next to the Lishka that the Kohen Gadol was hanging out in all week long. This was not a special tefillah for Yom Kippur. This was a regular tefillah of the rest of the year. Amr Abai, Shema Mina, we could learn from this Gemara that it was the place the Kohen went to the mikvah, the first one was on top of the Shar HaMayim. It was a mikvah that was on top of a gate. Ein Eitam, Gavo Mikar Kazara, Esrim Vesholosh Amos. We could learn from this that Ein Eitam, which was the spring that fed this mikvah, it was a spring that was outside Beis HaMikdash and would roll down the water would drip down. It had to be a minimum of 23 amos above the floor of the Azara. Why? This not because learned in the Mishnah. All of the gates of the Beis HaMikdash, Govan Esran Amos, Verachman Esran Amos, who was 20 amos tall, 10 amos wide, Chutz Mishel Ulam, except for the gate of the Ulam, which was 40 amos tall and 20 amos wide. V'tani we learned in the Braisa, V'rachatz b'mayim is kol b'saro, that the Kohen Gadol had to go to the mikvah, b'mayim b'mei mikvah, it's got to be with rainwater or natural spring water, mei mikvah, kol b'saro, mayim shekol gufa olabahen. It has to be a mikvah, the shear of a mikvah has to be enough water that your entire body can dip in it at one time. V'kamahen, how much is that for an average person? Ama al ama birum shalosh amos. One ama width by one ama length. And the height is 3 amos. V'shiru chacham me mikvah arbaim sa. And the chachamim said that an average person, what's one ama by one ama by 3 amos? That's 40 sa of water. So Ein Eitam, which was the area that was supplied this mikvah with water, it had to be 20 amos tall because it had to be above the gate. This mikvah was above the gate, above 20 amos. And another 3 amos because that's the average, sounds like that's the average height of a human being because a mikvah has to be 1 amos by 1 amos by 3 amos tall. So the mikvah had to be 3 amos tall. Ask the Gemara, Va'ika amma tikva amma maziva, but didn't you need 1 amma of roof and 1 amma of cement to support the mikvah on top of the gate? Answers the Gemara, Sharon de Beis HaMikdash came into Shisha Ninu b'mashu avdilei. The gates of the Beis HaMikdash, since they were made out of shayish, out of marble, so they were very, very strong, so you only needed a mashu. Says the Gemara, Va'ika hach mashu, hach mashu, but okay, so don't you need that mashu? You're right, they needed a mashu, but the Gemara doesn't consider that. Now, there's a number of issues to speak about over here. First of all, Tosus asks, take a look at the Tosus Ein Eitam. Tamali, Minolim Debes Tfila Haisa Gavoa Shalosh Amos. So why are you assuming that the mikvah was 3 amos tall? Maybe it was a bathtub. It was 1 amah high and 1 amma wide, but 3 amos long. It was only 1 amma tall, but it was 3 amos long, and the Kohen would lie down in it. So, says Tosas, Dilma lo haisa gavoa ela amma. Maybe it was only 1 amma tall. Va'orka shalosh amos. Its length was 3 amos. Kohen aya mashkiv atzmo besocha. The Kohen would lie down in it. Inami lo haisa gavoa ela shtei amos. Okay. Tosas answers, Shlomer, mistama kol masha yichon lahakil alav. They didn't want to trouble the Kohen Gadol to lie down in it and get up. If he was standing up, it would be easier for him to go to the mikveh standing up in the mikveh. Because he was fasting and he had a lot of avodah. It was a very hard day. So we wanted to relax him as much as possible. Kizek kal yoser lasu. Standing up was easier. Take a look at the next tosis. Ama al ama berum shalosh amos. So wait a second. Does this sound like the average height of a person is 3 amos tall? Is that what it sounds like? Ein loymer the gova shalad mirosh shavad raglav ein el shalosh amos. Tosis says, don't say from this that the height of a person is 3 amos. Im kain gabe hezek reiya debaya 4 amos per kamet above baso lomeli kulei high. There's a Gemara in Bava Basra that says if I want to, let's say I have my backyard, I want to have privacy. So I'm allowed to force my neighbor to join me and to chip in together with me to build a wall for my privacy. How high does my privacy have to be? 4 amos. Wait a second, but over here it says the height of a person is 3 amos. So why is Hezekiah 4 amos? Eliyesh Lomar, Da'ad Ksefov, so Taisa says that till a person's shoulders is 3 amos, even though your head is less than an amo, once we say you're building a fence more than 3, so maybe the guy get on his tippy toes, maybe there's a slight hill. So we build it 4 amos. Now, so that's a little bit of a chiddush to say that a person's height, let's say there's a lot of different opinions what an amo is. A person's height is 3 amos up to the shoulders. So this is Tosas B'chol HaShas. This is Tosas B'chol HaShas. Now, if it's only 3 amos to the shoulders, how did he fit in the mikvah? How did he fit in the mikvah? He's got to get his head in there too. So maybe he bent his head down. Or maybe when he stepped into the mikvah, there was a little displacement of the water, so the water would rise up a little bit. One other issue, I was listening. One other issue that they raise over here is that the Rugachev raises the following question. Now, Argamar seems to say that there's 2 separate shiurim, right? That a regular person is 3 amos by 1 amah by 1 amah, and the Chachamim were Mishaer, it's 40 sod a mikvah, because an average person will fit into 3 amos by 1 amah by 1 amah, that's 40 sod. Let's say you have a huge guy, Og Melech HaBashan. So he's not going to fit into, he can't, he's not going to have his whole body be wet by just going into a mikvah of 40 sud. Would he need more? So Aruch HaShulchan writes, yeah, of course, if Og Melech HaBashan needed to go into a mikvah, it's got to be more than 40 sud. Fascinating. Because you're too big, you're not going to fit in 40 sud. The Darkei Tshuva disagrees. He says, no, 40 saw, once we decide that an average person 40 saw, even if you're not going to be able to have your entire body in mikvah at the same time, 40 saw works for you. But the Pashtus is like the Aruch HaShulchan. If you're a huge guy, you might need more than 40 saw. That's one issue. And the Rugachev asked the following question. This that we say that less than 40 saw, is that not a mikveh at all? Like, let's say we have a kela mikveh. So a kela mikveh could be only a revius, midoraisa. But, so the question is, so it's not 40 saw. So is a mikveh that's less than 40 saw, is that not a mikveh at all? Or is that it is a mikveh, but a human being can't be tovel in it. Kalim can be tovel in it, but a human being can't, but it's still called a mikveh. The Rugachev asked this question. What's the nafkamina? Let's say one nafkamina might be for hashaka. You know, the way our mikvahs nowadays work, you don't have the rainwater. You have one, you don't dip in the rainwater. There's a place in the mikvah that there's 40 saw of rainwater. So now it's kissing through a little hole. It's touching a huge area, which is a lot more than 40 saw, which is not rainwater, which they keep changing. For cleanliness purposes, they keep changing that water. But it's touching through a little hole. It's touching the 40 saw. So the question is, does it have to be touching 40 sa? Let's say it's touching 30 sa, but it's called a mikvah. Okay, that a person can't be tovelin, but a person's now being tovelin more than 40 sa, but it's not more than 40 sa of rainwater, but it's touching 30 sa of rainwater. Would that be good? That's the Rugachev's shaila. Rav Shechter has it in his Sefer Be'ikveh Hatzon. He talks about this, about whether or not less than 40 sa is not a mikvah at all, or no, I can't be tovelin it, because our Gemara seems to say there's 2 separate things. There's one thing that you need enough water that Rosh over Rubo can touch it at one time. And then the Chachamim were Mishaya that an average person is 40 saw. That doesn't necessarily mean that less than 40 saw. If you have a guy who's very short, he might, or a baby, or a kid, a kid who's a short kid, he probably could fit into water that's less than 40 saw. So maybe for him, a mikvah could be less than that. Anyway, this is the Rugged Shabbos Shaila. Okay, let's continue. Parsu sadin shel boats. So they placed up a curtain of linen to separate between the Kohen Gadol and the people. Maishna shel boats. Why did it have to be made of linen? Kidama Rav Kahana. Like Rav Kahana said in the Gemara later on, Kidesha Yakir Shavodas Yom Avigdei Butz. Why was it linen? To remind the Kohen that he only does Avoda with the white linen garments on Yom Kippur. Hachanami Sheyakir Shavodas Yom Avigdei Butz. So to over here, at the beginning of the day, the reason is to remind the Kohen that he's going to do the avoda in the white garments. So I think it's Tosus who asks over here, why is Rav Kahana saying it only later on? Shouldn't he say it now? I mean, now, the beginning of the day, is when we're afraid he's going to get mixed up. Then he's already done it a few times already. So he changed from the big day zavin to the big day. We know what he's going into is white begadim. But so some say no, that only, I think it's Tosus here talks about it, that Dafka, at the beginning of the day, we're not worried. It's the fact that when he's in the middle is when maybe we're more worried, because he thinks, oh, maybe I finished already. So he doesn't have to get back into them. So that's why Rav Kahana Dafka said his halach in the middle of the day. Lekaman, Tosa says, Lekaman Gabi, in the middle of Tosa, Gamar Rav Kahana, Kadesh Yaker, Azirom Shalom. Lekaman gabi hivil a big day love and tema maishna d'armar lemilsei asefa v'lo aresha. Vinuli, oh no, then in the beginning it's obvious. Yeah, Rav Kahana, yeah, that's the answer. The aresha lo chashes lo with the pshita. Tosa says the tzarech hakera shelo yita v'yobash. Obviously, at the beginning of the day, you got to hang up the white linen thing to remind him. Sure, but the chiddush is, you might think once he's been in the middle of the day, you don't need the reminder at all. He already is used to it. So the Gemara says, Kamash Molin, that's why Rav Kahana had to say, even over there, you need a reminder by putting up the curtain with the white garment to remind him, hey, Kohen Gadol, you're wearing the white garments today. Okay, new Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, after the Kohen Gadol would check himself for chatzitzas, Pashat, he would take off his street clothing, Yarad v'taval, he would go down to the mikveh and dip in the water, Olav in his stapog, he would come up from the mikveh and wipe himself off with a towel. Heviulo. Or what's the chiddush that he would wipe himself? Some say because the water would be a hefsek, a chatzitza between him and the avoda. It's a general question about whether or not water would be a chatzitza. Some say no, it's just to make sure the big day kuna didn't get dirty. Heviulo big day zav. They brought him his big day zahav, v'lavash, and he would wear them, v'kidesh yadav v'raglav, after he put on the big day zahav, which he did the regular carbon tamid, because this wasn't special avodah for Yom Kippur, so he did put on his regular eight vestments, and he wore them, and then after he put on the big day zahav the first time, he washed his hands and feet from the kiyor. We're going to see in the Gemara how you count up the 10. Sounds like, according to the Mishnah, he only did one washing of hands and feet after he put on the big days of. Hevilo es hatamid. They brought him the carbon, the sheep for the carbon tamid. Kuratso, he just shechted the majority of the kana and the veshet, the trachea and the esophagus. Umerek acher shechita al yado. Somebody else finished off the shechita. Why? Because he had to quickly go grab a klisharis and he had to be mekabel the dumb. Kibel es adam uzurako, he took the blood in the klisharis and he sprinkled it on the outer mizbeach, shtei matanos shein arba, the first one in the northeastern corner and the second one in the southwestern corner. Nichnas lahakdir ktoiz shel shachar. Then he went into the Beis HaMikdash to burn the ktores in the morning on the inner mizbeach ulehetiv es haneros, and to clean out the candles, ulahakri vesarosh vesayivarim, and to bring the rosh and the limbs of the carbon on the mizbeach vahachavitin, and the special carbon mincha, the es hayayin, and the wine that he would pour on the mizbeach. Fine. Says the Mishnah, ketores shel shachar is a kreva bein dam leivar. So the ketores in the morning was always brought between the sprinkling of the blood and the limbs, like we just said. Shel bein arbayim bein ivarim l'nesachim. We'll see, the Gemara is going to explain why it was different. The ketores in the afternoon was brought in between the limbs and the wine pourings and the minchas nesachim, and the carbon mincha brought together with the wine pourings. Im haya kohen gadol zaken, if the kohen gadol was old and the water of the mikveh would be too cold for him, oh istinus, or he was a mefunak, he would get sick easily. Mechamin lo chamin, so on erev Yom Kippur they would heat up water and put it into the mikveh. Umatilin letoch hatzonin, they would put this hot water on Yom Kippur into the cold water into the mikveh to make sure it wasn't so cold. Kadesh tufik tzinasan, so that the water wouldn't be all that cold. Says the Gemara, Amru Rabbanu Kamei de Rav Papa. So the students of Rav Papa said in front of Rav Papa, ha, this Mishnah that says that there was only one washing of the hands and feet after he wore the big day zav the first time, deloka Rav Meir. The Mishnah is against Rav Meir. De'i Rabbi Meir, because if the Mishnah was Rav Meir, kaven de Omar, because in the very next Mishnah, Rav Meir says that when it came to the second dipping in the mikveh, that the Rav Meir holds you would not wash your hands and feet prior to removing the big day zav. Rather, first you would remove the big day zav and only afterwards wash your hands and feet, and then you would go to the mikveh and wear the big day lavan and then wash your hands and feet a second time. Trei kiddushi alavisha avadlu. The Rav Meir held that you would wash your hands and feet twice every time you wear new garments. Our Mishnah says you would only wash your hands and feet once after putting on the gold garments, but Rav Meir holds you wash your hands and feet twice, once before putting on the new garments and once after putting on the new garments. So Hachanami le'evet trei kedushi alavisha. If our Mishnah was going like Rav Meir, then you should wash your hands and feet twice, once before putting on the big days of and once after putting on the big days of. Amalu, Rav Papa, so Rav Papa answered to his students, no, even Rabbanim would agree to our Mishnah. Amalu, Rav Papa, so Rav Papa said to his students, no, our Mishnah could even be going like according to Rav Meir. And the machlokis in the next Mishnah, Bein Rabbanim, Amalu, Rav Papa, Bein le Rabbanan, Bein le Rabbi Meir, Chad Apshita de Big Day Kodesh, V'chad Alavisha. No, they both agree that there was one hand washing on the removal of the Big Day Kahuna, and one is for the Levisha. V'hacha, but in the next Mishnah, V'hacha Mifgei, they're arguing on how to understand the Pesukim and the Chumash. Ufashat, V'rochatz, V'lavash. Torah says, Ufashat is Big Day Bud. Take off the white garments and go to the mikveh, and then wear the new begadim. So the Torah compares them. Rabbi Meir Savar, Makish Pshita Lulavisha. Rabbi Meir says, we make a hekesh, we compare the removal of the garments to the wearing of the garments. Ma Lavisha, Lovesh, V'achach Makadesh. Just like when you wear the new garments, first you put on the garments, then you wash your hands and feet. Af Pshita, so too when you remove garments, Poshet V'achach Makadesh. Whenever you remove the garments, first remove them and then wash your hands and feet. For Rabban and Savri, no. Makish Pita Lelevisha. They also say you compare the removal to the wearing. Ma Levisha Kishu Lavosh Mekadesh. Just like when you wear the garment, when you're putting on the new garments, you first put on the new garments, then you wash your hands and feet. Av Pshita Kishu Lavosh Mekadesh. So too, when you're removing garments, while you're wearing the clothing, that's when you remove them. So it's only when you're removing holy garments that Rav Meir and Chachamim argue about washing the hands and feet. But since our Mishnah is talking about when you're removing chol garments, everyone agrees you do not do an extra washing of the hands and feet. And now the students of Rav Papa are going to quote a explicit brisa. No, that Rav Meir really holds that there are two washings on the Levisha. Amru le Rabbanan le Rav Papa. So the students asked Rav Papa, how could you say this, Rav Papa? We have an explicit brisa that you're wrong. How could you say that according to Rav Meir, that when you wear big day kodesh, there's only one washing of hands and feet? Vatanya, we learned in a brisa. Parsu sudden shabbuts beino levena am. They put up a linen covering to cover him. Pashat, he took off his garments. Viyari went to the mikvah. Vitaval goes to the mikvah. Olav and Estapag, he came up and dried himself. Hey, viulo big days of vilavash. Vikidesh yada viraglov. Rab Meir Omer, Pashat, he would first take off the garments, Vikidesh yada viraglov, and he would wash his hands and feet. Viyarad, Vitavavonestapa, Vilo Bigdezov, Vilavash, Vikidesh yada viraglov. You see here explicitly the Rab Meir said, even on the first time, he washed his hands twice. Amalohu, so Rav Papa said, you got me. So you got me, it's obvious. Itanya Tanya, you're right. If you have an explicit brisa that says that Rav Meir held even the first time he washed his hands twice, once before putting on the new garments and once after putting on the new garments, you're right. Our Mishnah is clearly not like Rav Meir because our Mishnah says there was only one time of washing the hands and feet after he put on the Big Day Kodesh. Rabosai, we will stop here. Everyone should have a wonderful day. Have an awesome day, Dr. Joe.